This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Mitch Time.
And I'm Bonnie North. It is Sunshine Week, and no, that's not a crack about the weather. The annual event is an effort led by news organizations that seeks to inform people about their rights to access public information. It's a right that has had many enemies, both historically and currently, but it's also a right that has endured many tests.
As a young journalist in Madison, David Pritchard found himself testing the strength of this right. Pritchard is now a journalism professor at UW-Milwaukee, but in the 1970s, he was on the opposing side of the university system when he sued UW-Madison for access to public records.
Decades later, Pritchard set out to see just how common his story has been. He and co-author John Anderson, who's also the winner of a similar lawsuit, analyzed every public records lawsuit filed against the University of Wisconsin system during the last four decades. They were surprised to find out that in the last 40 years, the UW system hasn't won a single case where they sought to conceal those records.
Pritchard sat down with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and he started by describing how he and Anderson went about gathering this information.
One of the problems is that there's no list of all these lawsuits. So from a combination of personal knowledge, news coverage, talking to a lot of lawyers, including the lawyers at the Wisconsin Department of Justice who represent the university when the university is sued, we compiled what we think is a complete list. And then because the records in the trial courts are not online, we had to go from county courthouse to county courthouse to actually go through the paper files to understand what happened.
What is generally the university's position when it comes to these requests? Does it change a lot? I'm looking at your face.
I think it's variable. Yeah. I think sometimes the university doesn't have a problem when things come out, like if they're trying to get rid of somebody and they have a disciplinary report on that person and a news organization makes a request, the university is all too happy to let it out. However, when the university thinks that a news organization is snooping around for something that might put the university in a bad light, then the university is much more resistant.
Can you give me some examples of cases where the university has resisted giving out this information?
Well, the lawsuit I was involved in hundreds of years ago, actually was in the late 1970s when I was a very young reporter in Madison covering the university for a newspaper. I became interested in corporate funding of research and professors doing consulting for corporations. And I was aware, because I read the list of grants given to the university, that there were pesticide companies funding research on the safety of pesticides being done by professors in the agriculture school. Welch's grape juice company was funding research on the effectiveness of vitamin C in preventing colds. And the Playboy Foundation was funding research into the effects of pornography. And I could go on and on. So I asked for records of faculty outside activities, basically faculty consulting activities, consulting for corporations, that all faculty members who did consulting were required to file. And the university resisted that. Madison campus resisted, saying that this would be a chilling effect on it, research and teaching, and it would violate academic freedom, and it was the equivalent of McCarthyism, the chancellor told the faculty senate when he was reporting to the faculty senate about this. Well, the judge disagreed. We got the records. There were no big conflict of interest bombshells in the records. The big finding was that 97% of the faculty members at the Madison campus didn't file any reports. And we knew that lots more than 3% of the Madison faculty had outside interests. And the court decision led to a new UW system code of ethics that requires all faculty members to file statements of their outside interests, if any, every year. I just filled out mine yesterday.
Oh.
I frankly don't know why the Madison campus resisted that. My co-author, John Anderson, was involved in an even more bizarre example. When he was editor of the UWM Post as an undergraduate here in Milwaukee, he asked the university for some records, really boring records, meeting agendas, minutes of meetings, audio recordings of meetings of the Union Policy Board, which had six students and three staff members on it. And UW-Milwaukee said, no. Actually, they said yes, but they blacked out all the student names and they edited out all of the student audio from the audio tape because of the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. Even revealing the names of students who attended a public meeting, who were part of a decision-making body that attended a public meeting, the university said had to be kept secret. Well, this is a perversion of the intent of the Federal Educational Rights and Privacy Act. And so John filed a lawsuit in Milwaukee County Circuit Court right here. And the State Department of Justice, which is supposed to defend state agencies like the university, took one look at it and said, give them the records. You know, don't black anything out. This was a public meeting. This is ludicrous. And so the university turned over the records. But the university also had to pay more than $11,000 in legal fees. Because that's one of the nice things about the Wisconsin public records law. If you make a request and the public agency says no and you go to court to get the records and you win, your legal fees get paid.
And you found in your analysis that every time a reporter or an organization questioned the withholding of information, that they won.
Yeah, that's really an interesting finding because a little more than half of our cases involved news media requests for information. And by cases, I mean disputes where either the university didn't want to release the information or the university did want to release information about an employee, but the employee went to court to block release of the information. And the news media always won. They always got everything they wanted, sometimes via an out-of-court settlement with peripheral information redacted, like student addresses or social security numbers or things like that. But they always got the information they wanted. Interestingly, as the financial situation of the legacy news media has weakened in recent years, partisan advocacy groups have been making more and more requests, advocacy groups on the right and advocacy groups on the left. And they always win too. They always win. And so these groups that have kind of a public interest component, the news media and these advocacy groups, they have never lost, actually. So I don't even know why the university would bother going to court in some of these cases, frankly.
I know you analyzed these cases. Did you analyze how much money has been lost as a result of them?
That's really hard to calculate. The records are not complete on the out-of-court settlements. We didn't go campus by campus by campus to find out how much money has been paid out in the requester's legal fees. And of course, the lawyers are on salary, so it's very hard to account for how many hours of their time were spent on these on futile resistance to public records requests.
Well, and as you've said, it is kind of futile resistance. And the rationale has changed from the university, from the case that you cited in the 70s. How has the rationale for resisting giving this information, how has that evolved?
When I made my request in the late 70s, the resistance was on the basis of academic freedom. And there's this famous plaque bolted to the east wall of Bascom Hall on the Madison campus, and it's on a lot of other campuses too, including Milwaukee. And it talks about how the university is dedicated to the sifting and winnowing, is the phrase, the sifting and winnowing by which alone truth can be found. Well, that's academic freedom, and we have to let faculty members and other scholars follow their muse wherever it goes in teaching and research. I'm a really strong advocate of academic freedom. The notion of academic freedom has changed, however. In the last 10 years, when the university replies to requests and resists requests, they often now talk about the university's commercial interests or the professor's commercial interests. In biomedical research, for example, there are patentable inventions, drugs and other kinds of things. And the royalties from those patents get funded back into the research mission of the university. And this can be millions and millions and millions of dollars. So that's a legitimate commercial interest. And if the information is made available via a public records request before a patent application is filed, then the patent application is muddied. Somebody else could steal it. So it seems odd to me to define academic freedom in terms of commercial interests. I think that's much more like trade secrets, which the Wisconsin public records law does allow to be withheld. You don't have to reveal trade secrets. But this kind of drift in the definition of academic freedom is certainly something we found.
What are some of the more egregious examples where people, both working for the university and the university itself, have sought to keep this information secret that really legally should be released?
First of all, let me say, I think the university feels under siege sometimes. The Madison campus has said that it spends more than $100,000 a year replying to public records requests, largely about animal research. So that's a burden on a university in a state where funding for public universities is going down instead of up. And I think we all need to acknowledge that these burdens are kind of irksome at times. That said, the Wisconsin public record law, in the very first paragraph, says that the law shall be construed in every instance with a presumption of complete public access. The denial of public access generally is contrary to the public interest, and only in exceptional cases may access be denied. Well, the University of Wisconsin system is one of the biggest state agencies. We often forget that the University of Wisconsin system is part of state government. And so the university has an obligation to be accountable to the public, to be accountable to legislators. What have they tried to keep secret that came out? Where do I begin?
It's a big question.
Some of the more interesting cases came when the university or a university campus was willing to release information, but the employee went to court to block release of the information. And the public records law does allow employees in certain circumstances to try to block information. It never works, but employees try sometimes. There was a professor at UW-Stevens Point who slugged one of her students in the face. And there was a disciplinary report. The media heard about it. They sought access to the disciplinary report. The university was all too glad to release this, perhaps because they wanted to see the professor depart. And in an out-of-court settlement, the professor resigned and the report was released. Also at Stevens Point, there was a professor who was having consensual sexual affairs with two of his students, one of whom was an undergrad. There were people complained. There was a disciplinary report that documented the relationships and a lot of other, I guess, unhealthy sexual climate. One of the more interesting things, apparently this professor snuck into the undergraduate student's dorm room so that they could spend some time together there. Those kinds of things. There was a professor up at UW-Superior, I'm sorry to say it, a journalism professor like me, but not like me in so many other ways, because he took a group of undergraduates to New York. He had made the travel arrangements, and it turned out that they were one hotel room short. So he invited an undergraduate to stay in his hotel room. And I'll spare you all the salacious details of what came out in the disciplinary report after she freaked out, called her parents, contacted police, etc. But that professor went to court to block access to that report. And of course, the report came out and the professor was fired.
So we're talking about this in light of Sunshine Week, which really deals with transparency. What does transparency in the UW system look like compared to other universities, other state universities?
We don't know. We don't really know, because the study that John Anderson and I did is really the first study that looks at what happens in the trial courts with respect to public records laws and public university systems. But Sunshine Week is actually really important because it's not just the university and it's not just the state government. It's your local public school board. It's your village board. It's your city council. It's your town board if you live in a rural area. And it's really important for citizens of Wisconsin to understand that they have a right to attend the meetings of public bodies. They have a right of access to most public documents. And if you care about your government, why things happen the way they happen, you can learn an awful lot about these things. Now, sometimes your local municipal officials don't know about the law, or they might not want to share information. Sometimes they think that they have a certain proprietary interest in the information, but they don't. The law says that most records, not all records, but most records need to be disclosed. And there are some exceptions to the law. Certain kinds of personnel records don't have to be disclosed, but certainly people's job descriptions do, their salaries do. Any completed reports of disciplinary investigations need to be disclosed upon request. Transparency Week reminds us all that we are all a part of our government. And certainly the university is a government function. State government is government, but it's also your local government. Former Speaker of the U.S. House, Tip O'Neill, once said, "All politics is local." And in the little municipality I live in, people get passionate about local politics. And there's a window into that. It's called public records, open meetings. Take advantage of it.
David Pritchard is a journalism professor at UW-Milwaukee, and he's one of the authors of a study analyzing how the University of Wisconsin system handles transparency laws.
The full report will be published later this year by the Journal of College and University Law. There is more on that report and Sunshine Week at WUWM.com.